Galatians chapter 4. Last time we left off working down through here in Galatians chapter 4, and we're looking at the babes in Christ, and we also looked at the natural man being lost, the unbeliever, and how they cannot understand the things that are God until they get saved. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. It's not so much magazines or books about books, but it's about the book. And you have to hear the words of God. And this Word of God is powerful. Many of us know that. How powerful it is. It took a lost man, it took a dead man that was going to die and go to hell as myself, and I trusted what I heard that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and it quickened my spirit, and now it made me alive. And that's what God is doing today. God is making dead man alive. You know, Galatians chapter 4 was looking at the babes in Christ. Believes the gospel, now he needs to have Christ formed in him. And many of us understand that once we understand some dispensational truths, we thought we knew it all when we were saved the first time, didn't we? You know, we was brought up in, many of us brought up in churches and denominational churches, and they taught you things and all, and you said, okay, that's truth. Then some dispensational came along, or you heard some dispensational teachings on the radio, I'm like, wait a minute. That's what it really means. And as a babe, you start feeding yourself, feeding the things that what you need to be. But you have to have Christ formed in you. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it reads, my little children, of whom I travailed in birth again, until Christ be formed in what? You. So he was, when, and we looked at, hold your finger there and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. My little children, and birth again. We looked at this briefly last week, but I just want you to see that for yourself one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the... So when Paul actually was born them into the what? And the very next verse says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of Peter, James, John. No, of me, Paul. And there's two people tells you to follow them in the Word of God. Jesus Christ told them, drop their nets and follow me, and Paul. And here's one of them. And the other one's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me as I follow who? Christ Jesus. So you do have a pattern for a believer, for a babe in Christ to come to be Christ being formed in them. I was at the fair yesterday, and many of you was at where was you at up there at the air show? You know, we was out. And, you know, there's a church group that's parking cars up here, and he had a big cross on his, you know, around his neck, and we kept talking and stuff. We started talking about churches and what do you believe in and what do you trust in to get to heaven, and he hit the cross. You know, he said, I trust that Christ died for my sins and buried and rose again. I said, praise God, hallelujah. You know, and then we started talking about babes and how our church don't have a nursery right now. And that how we encourage the mother to keep the children in here, you know, and how that child can learn how you turn your Bible, how that child can learn to sit in a church and be able to understand the gospel and understand some knowledge. And this is what Paul was saying, in a way that a birth again until Christ be formed in you, babe. You have to have Christ formed in you, and each one of us is different. For until we get spiritually, see? And then it, as hard as it is to bring a lost soul from death to life, it is even greater ministry to edify the babe until Christ be formed in them. That's hard. You know, I tell people all the time, once you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you're saved. Praise God, hallelujah. The battle has not begun yet. The battle has begun when you understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. That's where the rubber meets the road. And many of us know that. Many of us know that as a babe is saved by grace through faith plus nothing, then the average babe today is sucked and was sucked into the religious system. Okay? Instead of having Christ formed in them, as God laid out through Paul and His design of the doctrine and of edification of the saint, that they allow the denominations to form in their minds. The Baptist, the Pentecost, the Methodist, to name a few. And instead of Christ being formed, the system is formed in them. And then you have to, you know, that's tough. And many of you are working that way right now to understand that you're dealing with those things. You know, many of us came out of those denominations and stuff. And I gave you my little testimony before that I wanted to be right with God. You know, I didn't care about being right with my preacher. You know, I wanted to be right for God. And if understanding dispensational truths and understanding rightly dividing the word of truth was right, I wanted to be right. And once I flushed that mind think of that traditions and started understanding this is right. You know, the mentality of my mind changed. And you know, I tell you all the time, you're not moving me. You know, people's tried, and people's try with you. But as you keep going, how is Christ formed in us? How did we talk about last week, last study? The fact that, how is Christ formed, number one? Or, that's how you got to renew your mind, but the Word of God rightly divided. That's first thing, how Christ is going to start forming you. You have to have the right knowledge of Christ. As I shared yesterday with that guy, I said, you know, many people tell you you're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing else, don't they? Then they'll tell you, that's okay, you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, but you have to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get instructions. And, you know, I look at these people when I share that with them, I say, you know something? The people Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John couldn't do it. How in the world do you expect you and I to do it? That's why the unique message of Paul and how you get through Paul, Paul tells you who's doing it. Christ. Okay? He's doing it in you and through you. And how's He doing it? By the Word of God, rightly divided. You can't say that enough. And then you intake the Word of God through your spirit. Okay? That's how you renew your mind. You have to keep your mind renewed or you forget some things. You know, I was looking at my 1975, 76, yeah, I'll go back a few years, high school annual. And my math teacher said, "You're a very good math student." And I'm thinking today, there's no way. You know, maybe at one time I was a good math teacher. You know, I didn't have to take my shoes off to count past 20. You know, that type of thing. But the thing was, if you don't renew your mind, I know Val's going to some training or some studying and stuff and tests always. You know, we're special commodities relocation engineers. You know, we're constantly have to stay on top of things. The federal government changes things all the time, and it's getting ready to change again. And it really, when I look at my bosses, I'm thinking, how in the world do you know all that stuff? Well, if they're sitting there 8 hours a day looking at the same thing, they're renewing their mind. Our mind's different. You know, we look at the world through a windshield. You know, we can solve anything, can't we, Brother Dan? You know, anything, you lay it on us. You know, you got problems, we can do it. But look, it is not until you transfer that knowledge from your spirit, your mind, into your soul, your heart. Okay? And that's by works or by faith. Okay? You get it down there, you have faith, and that's a constant choice of your free will. Okay, you make that choice to get it down in your heart and you believe it and you apply the sound doctrine there. Because that's really who you are right here. Because my mind and your mind can think all kinds of stuff. And it's really not us, is it? You know what I mean? It's really not us. But our heart and our the real soul and the real you, and we broke those things down before, is that's who you are and who I am. And then the only doctrine that is usable and transferable in strengthening of the believers is the doctrine stored up in your soul. That's what it's hungry for. I shared with that guy before. I said, you've got the same Holy Spirit in you that I do, the same Holy Spirit that raised God, Jesus Christ from the dead. You ever thought about that? I do, and I'm like, whoa. You know, that's power. But if you don't feed it the right things, you can't tap into that. The Holy Spirit just sitting there. I just picture it just sitting there wanting to do something. You know, I told you about we got a little dog now. Yeah, I broke down. We got one. It's about this big. And I said, what's that dog? And it's just wanting to do things. And it come up and just, you know, wanting you to play with it. You know, I'm like, I can't communicate with you, you know. Hand me the remote. You know, unlock the door, go outside. But it can't do that. It's not trained. But when you put it on that leash and you walk it around the neighborhood, it's just a happy-go-lucky, you know, and all that. But the thing is, when you have that same spirit in you and you apply that sound doctrine stored up in you, which the Holy Ghost uses to energize you the right way. You know, I tell people all the time, they say, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, got to have this and you got to have the fire come down and you got to do this and got to do that. And I'm thinking, you know, why ain't the Word of God energizing you? You know, I've been in churches and been involved in churches that they build upon music ministries, you know, and it's wonderful, you know, to listen to music. I love music. But when they're sitting up there and playing 20 minutes worth of music, and they're, you know, people doing this and all that stuff, and then the Word of God comes up and people go, oh. You know, and I'm like, if you're going to get that excited about music, then get that much excited about the Word of God. And that's why I shared the guy before. I said, listen, we can offer you a cup of coffee and the Word of God. He goes, that's what I'm looking for. See, just let that doctrine work in you and energize you. You have it made. It's a part of you. Okay? When we work, we do some things. We look at things. I know many of you right now are studying on ways of you can approach people. You watch people. Oh, you got a cross. You got a fish on your tag or you on your truck. Are you a fisherman? Just let them open up that conversation with them. Then after you get that Christ formed in you, the spiritual man takes effect. Okay? You root it and ground it in truth, forming Christ in the believer. And we looked at last week, must be oriented to grace. What does Romans 16, 25 and 26 says? For establish you according to my gospel. It don't say establish. You're established. Okay? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Okay, which was spoken since the world began, right? Which was kept secret. There you go. It's, you know, it was kept secret in God, okay? But now is made manifest. Okay? So there's some things in God's Word. Now you've got to understand some things, okay? Who is Jesus Christ? And while I was explaining to the guy, I said, hey, you know, Apostle Paul did not know Jesus Christ, I believe, did not know Jesus Christ on earth like Peter, Paul, and, I was going to say Mary, but Peter, Paul, and James, okay? I do that occasionally. But Peter, Paul, and James know Christ, did they? No. You know? Amen. It's just strictly... That's right. And when they replaced Matthias, they was going to say... Well, people say Paul does, don't they? Paul is the 12th apostle. Paul is the 13th, amen. And 13th is a rebellion number. He writes 13 epistles. You know, he does that for a reason. God uses him for a reason for that. Then you had the provision of God and His program, the overall plan of God, equal foundation. Now you got a program that understands the law principle or the kingdom principle versus the grace principle, the heavenly purpose. Then we love the measure of faith, the application of doctrine to the details of your life. How do you apply that? What is your measure of faith? We went through that when we was in Romans chapter 12. You know, when we went through the book of Romans, we spent almost 2 years here working through the book of Romans. And the fact is, you have a measure. Each one of us has a measure of faith. Okay? You got the same Holy Ghost in you. You have the same, but each one of them has a measure of faith where you're at. You know, that's why babes, spiritual, carnal, that type of thing. I won't go there. I was going to say, you know, each one of, well, I will go. Every one of us got the same measure of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what I'm getting at. But what you do with this doctrine, how you get this Word of God in you through channels of the Word of God, makes the difference of the, is the glass half full or glass half empty type of thing. You know what I mean? You're there. You have the fullness of thereof. Okay, but you have to apply that in your doctrine, in your soul, to see where you're at in your walk. Okay? Then you have fruits of righteousness. God, you ever notice from the beginning God always dealing with fruit? You think about that. You know, He's always wanting fruit. Fruit's good. Unless it's carrot juice, I found out. You know, is that, that's a vegetable. Okay, thank you. But anyway, yeah, but hey, look, you know, so, but anyway, you know, it's fruit. He wants fruits. There's fruits back there on the table. Now, that's a fruit, right? Okay, thank you. And, you know, but the true holiness of God's glory, that's what He's wanting. He's presenting us as what? Unblameable. You know, and we're out here in this ambassador of Christ on this earth. We should be acting like we're fruitful, not fruity. You know, but look, then you have peace and joy. The peace is to relax in that mental attitude, because you know as well as I know there's times in our life right now, there's trying times. And I was trying to figure out why I like baseball so much this year. I'm thinking of the economy. I'm thinking of jobs being lost. At least you go to a baseball game, you don't have to think. You can just sit there like, whoa, it never changes. You ever notice that? Baseball don't change. There's no time limit on it. 16 minutes. Yeah, the other night, right? You know, so you just, and I'm trying to explain that to my wife, but she just can't understand that. She's just thinking this. It's costing, yeah. But I'm thinking, well, I like it. Now college football's on. Oh, it's always something that's going to take my mind away and amuse me. But anyway, then you relax. Then the joy is a joy of true happiness. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? You know, we can look at our spouses and all and, you know, and say, true happiness. You know, joyfulness. And that is to an extent. You know, but when you come to understand God and who He is and the joy of His Word and the liberty, that's happiness. And I think when people see that in us, it does make a difference. I want what you got. You know, that type of thing. And they see a difference in your step and they see a spring in your step and all that good stuff. Then you got agape love. And we all know what agape love is. It's God's love. It's pure love. It's genuine. And the value and esteem, the things that God values and esteems. Think about that. Not what we want, right? Because when we're thinking with our mind, we're, you know, yield your members to righteousness, not unrighteousness. When you think about, sometimes I have to stop and think myself and say, Lord, what are you saying in here? Because when I'm looking at some things, I'm looking at it through whose eyes? My eyes. And I see it different than what God's doing. And God turns around and says, you know, no, here's what, you got the mind of Christ, look at it this way. And if things start to unravel and things start to say, falling in place, I should say. I think about David when they wrote Psalms and they're talking about looking up this way. It's not that. God's looking down. He's looking down at earth and saying, this is what I formed and this is what I did and this, that type of thing. But when you look at it in your eyes, the man's eyes, you're not going to see that. Unless you got the mind of who? The mind of Christ. And then the results in Christ being formed in you, we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. These are the results that you're grounded and rooted in truth. These are the results of having Christ formed in you. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself, at where? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the... Do you not know that this church is the living church of the living God? And it's the pillar and ground of the truth? It is. Amen, brother. It is. That's why we encouraged 5 years ago, going on six, start it. You know, you hear Richard talk about all the time. Brother Richard in Chicago, he talks about all the time. He said, you don't have a church? Go outside. What's your address on your church building? You know, many of you are doing that. Many of you have that desire to do that. And praise God, hallelujah. That's what we're here for. You know, train people, train teachers to be able to teach others. I share this with you all the time. When you teach somebody else, you come here to Canton Grace Fellowship, you teach somebody else the right division, teaching them how to understand the Bible. They get saved. They come to understand the church. That builds on your ministry. And you're building on this ministry. And that's how it continues. And continues. And continues. But it says, pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up the glory. That's the result of Christ being formed in you, not Christ being formed in Christ. I told you last week, a lot of people believe that is Christ, and it's not. That's you, the church, the living God. Then he talks about in Colossians, go to Colossians chapter 1, along with the spiritual man. Colossians chapter 1. Get Ephesians chapter 5. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. That to be filled is to be gripped by the point to being controlled by wisdom and knowledge. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, and keep your fingers there in Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what's the will of the Lord?
That all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth.
Very good verse, isn't it? 2 Timothy 2:4, and to have all men to be... What is good and acceptable in the sight of God? What is good and acceptable in the sight of God? To have all man. And that's all man. Now, whether you believe all or not, you know, that's His will to have all men to be saved. But all man's not going to be saved. But look, is the Lord is, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See that big S? That's God, the Holy Spirit, people. Isn't it? Verse 19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Where? In your heart, your soul, where you the real you are. I know many of us can't sing a tune in a carry a tune in a bucket, you know? And that's me. But when I think of who I am and I'm singing for the Lord, I sing good. Nashville, here I come. There you go. Yeah. Giving thanks, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the knowledge of His will. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, You start with verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are here on this earth. Above, amen. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Okay? Verse 3 is where we're going, down to verse 16. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in where? Those first four verses, by the way, its focus is heaven. When we did the comparison about the prophecy mystery thing, there's focus, Israel's program's focus on the what? And that's prophecy, isn't it? Prophetic program's focus on earth. The mystery program is focus in the heaven. Verse 5, mortify therefore with your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil computedness, and covenants, which is what? You see all those things he just named? You don't have to worship a little baseball, or a bat, or a football, think it's idolatry. That's idolatry too. Follow me? You don't follow me. Yes, okay, thank you. So you did this before you were saved, people. You guys didn't. I did. Y'all holier than thou. But anyway, look, for verse 6, for which things, what things? The things back there in verse 5, sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. And the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You see that? Okay. But now. Wonderful buts in the Bible, isn't it? But now. We'll do a study on that. List all the but nows in your Bible, in Paul's epistles, and see how what contrasts. You know, go, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I was listening briefly this morning to Joel Osteen, you know, and he talked about he'd been struggling in lawsuits and stuff for the last three and a half years. But God's perfect timing got him out of it. He sent his angels down. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm listening to that stuff this morning. No, you don't wait 3.5 years. That's why Galatians is very, very important in your spiritual life, that you reap what you sow, people. If you're in financial hardship, if you struggle in job, you reap what you sow things. You know, if I had 19 vehicles and, you know, 14 houses, an economy dropped out of it, you know, and I'm not making that type of money. I was sowed that to make money, but now it's not making money. You can't blame who? You can't blame God. You say, hey, man, this is the economy. But look, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You put off that. And I'm listening to Joel today, and I'm like, well, come on, Joel. You know, you was in lawsuits because things happen. You know, you don't put it on the people to get you out of it. Look at this, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in, not in emotions, not in strange circumstances, right? But in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where do you get the knowledge? Talk to me. Studying Word after the image of Him. Who's Him? Christ. That created Him. Who's that? God. And where do you get the knowledge today? By the Word of God. I had to share that man today. I said, you know something? I said, you're old enough to know, and you've seen your daddy and your granddaddy. I'll be there at 2 o'clock. Stuck my hand out like that. He grabbed it. I said, the Word meant something, didn't it? He said, yep. I said, I believe that God gave us His Word, and He does not speak outside His Word today. You may think, you can think anything you want to think, guys and gals, But I do know this, He gave us His Word. And that's His knowledge. And to know Him, you have to know His Word. Psalms says He magnified His Word above His name. You know, we have His Word.
Is there a verse? There's a verse that says that.
Psalms 138, 2b.
I looked for that all weekend.
Verse 2b. B is the second part of the verse. But anyway, but that's what He says. You know, and people want to put Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I watch and listen how these people just freely put Jesus' name out there. You know, I mean, that's scary. You know, just saying Jesus. No, it's Christ Jesus. It's Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? He ain't buddy old child, punk, you know, chump. He is Lord God. Now, if you want to look at Him as your friend, that's between you and Him. He wants that intimate relationship. You know, I look at Him as Abba Father. You know, He's my God. Okay? And He gave me His Word, and that's what I'm going to live by. Well, it's hard. I try to live by, I should say. You know, because I have to beat myself in subjection all the time. You know, that's why I tell you, you drive by my house, it's not glass. You know, I don't think anybody should live in a glass house. You know, because you start throwing rocks, you know, guess what? Somebody's going to get rich by putting window panes up. But look, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, what's that next word? Okay, thank you. Bond nor free, but Christ is all and in what? Okay. All those that believe, okay? Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, and bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. That's hard, isn't it? But what are you doing? You're having Christ formed in you. If you let Christ forming in you, guess what? We can do that. I can do that. You know, we keep moving. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectionists. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Didn't you just read a verse like that in Ephesians? Singing, making song. Okay, see, you got the doctrine in Ephesians about the advanced mystery truths, and Colossians is a book of corrections. Colossians wasn't having their mind with Christ, and he said, "Hey, this is what you do: put off the old guy, put on the new guy." Okay, we can do that. We can do it together with Christ. But for you and I doing it on our own, I tried, guys. You know, many of you shaking your head, yep, I know what you mean, Ed. But look, the knowledge of His will, the fact, know ye what? The Word of God, the wisdom. Faith, reckon ye. Reckon your members, reckon your life, reckon by the faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that keeps us. That's why it's totally different, the teachings of Paul to us is totally different than Peter, James, and John to the nation of Israel. Now, if you want to use those epistles and books for that they wrote for you, you know, you're going to have to take up with God. But your spiritual man is not going to grow. You're going to think it's growing and forcing, and you're going to get yourself with a group of believers that believe in the same thing. But you listen to the stories. You listen to how they've done things. And you're like, now I think you would say, oh, buddy, you know, Get away from me. That's why I have verses that says, mark those that are contrary to the doctrine you've been taught and avoid them. Then I have verses over here that says, mark those who are with you. I can put check, but check, 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 check. My family. You know, my loved ones. Anyway, the fruit unto God, to rejoice in it, produces the action. Okay, once you have that laying down, it starts producing good fruit. You know, it may take many of us years. You know, it may take some of us days. Boom. I believe I'm doing it. I'm sacrificing, that type of thing. But it does produce fruit unto God. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, that was the spiritual man that we just looked over, okay? The carnal man, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk as other Gentiles.
Not as.
Okay? I'm just saying, if you're awake out there. Many of you are. I'll throw those curveballs at you every once in a while. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness and worked all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth of is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your... That's where it starts, people, in your mind. Verse 24, and ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This carnal mind, and what do we say the carnal person was? Is he a lost person?
It's a Christian.
It's a Christian reverting back to where he was when he was a lost man. That's called reversionism. The reverting back to where you once was. You don't know nobody like that, do you? I know a lot of people like that. That's actually was saved, and that's why the people says you can lose your salvation. So I asked this guy I was talking to over there, I said, well, do you think you can lose your salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation. And he was a Methodist. Guy I was talking about. Okay?
Good.
Yeah, amen. That's what I said. He said, people saying this, they're wrong. I said, hallelujah. You know, the thing is, why they teach you that you can lose your salvation. I told them, I said, if they come to Sunday and they get saved, they better hope they go ahead and go on to glory. You know, because they walk out that door, they think they can lose their salvation. You know what I'm getting at? That's error. And who used to say, I pity the fool? Was that, you know... No, A-team, wasn't it? Mr. T, yeah. You know, we should say, I pity you, fool, because what he's doing, that preacher, is doing the fact that, you know, he's controlling those people. Think about that. If I can tell you can lose your salvation today, you better be back here next Sunday. See what I'm saying? You just keep control. You keep control. I had to remind him and remind myself, you know, constantly of the fact that I'm not to have dominion over your faith, but to be helpers of your joy. See, you make that choice. But I told him my responsibility is to preach the word. It really is. But look, the passage is warning the saints against reversionism, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in a vanity of their mind. This is how the believer is in reversion walks. The vanity of their mind. That's human viewpoint. You know, they just totally forget what God gave them in their mind, right? And they say, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's what you say. That type of thing. You know, that the vanity of the mind, human viewpoint, negative to sound doctrine. When you talk about sound doctrine, you get involved in sound doctrine, guess what they do? That's what you say. That's why I encourage you and encourage anybody, if you don't have the Word of God with you, you got it right here in your heart. And you keep certain little verses with that and say, listen, this is what it said. Go, don't take my word for it. Go home and check it out. You know, look it up yourself. Then get back with me. You know, I want to see. A lot of times, do they do that? If they're serious enough, they will, won't they? They may even call you that. Man, you was right. You know, or they might call you, no, that's not what my Bible says. Are you looking at the right verse? Do you have the right Bible? That type of thing. Then the understanding is darkened. What do we look in Romans chapter 1? I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. See, their understanding darkened. Their down here in their hearts darkened. Then they're alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Boy, Satan loves that. He wants you to ignore. You put them blinders on. You ever see them horses down the Amish country? They got blinders on for a reason, don't they? Because you bring that 18-wheeler upside of them, and if they don't have blinders on, they're looking at it is spook that horse. So many of us had blinders on that we ignore. There's people out there ignore. That's why I had to take the blinders off. There's some things you ought to ignore. You know, in all honesty. But there's some things, this right here, they ignore through ignorance. Ignorance. And the blindness of their heart. What does vanity mean? Vain, empty. Vanity means empty. There's a vacuum is created there. If you don't put sound doctrine in your mind and your spirit, that's where it starts. It will be full of something. Okay? Thus, when you are negative towards sound doctrine, your mind is empty and it starts sucking in words of doctrines from the world. We know that. We're dealing with people right now with that, aren't we? You know, think about it. Influenced by the satanic policy of evil. That's why in the garden, it started in the garden. It wasn't, you had God's viewpoint, you had Satan's viewpoint, and then he created another one. What was it? Or human viewpoint. See? And when you got Satan and human's viewpoint on this side over here, okay, then you got God's viewpoint. It's almost like outnumbered. See, Satan's like, aha, I got one more than you got with God. God says, just go ahead, you know, believe what you want. But it's vanity. It's emptiness. And that produces a blackout in your heart. It darkens. Your understanding creating darkness in your soul, and it makes it difficult to operate with sound doctrine, don't it? That's why you're dealing with some people right now, loved ones or you know brothers and sisters or somebody, you're dealing with something, you know that they're saved, but their mind and their mind is vanity and it's sucking in all kinds of world systems and religious system, and their heart is darkened, and it's just like, no, you don't understand. It's like that coal mine we went down to the other day. You know, if without lights, it's dark down there. And they was talking about how they used to have little candles. Little bitty candles on top of that miner's cap. Until they found out that methane gas, they didn't like each other. You know? And then they created a light. It was something that they had this, what is it? That's it. And he put water, you know, it's a little can about this big, and there's water in the top of it, and he had this like dial. And he pumped it a couple times, and it dropped water down in that car. Was it car? Yeah. And it lit a little light out of a little thing. And they used, And but they used that. That guy said he mined for 40 years, started at 15 years old. And he used that for a long time. But it gave light. You know, and there's darkness down there, and it makes it difficult to operate with sound doctrine that has already been stored up there. Listen, when you got saved, you started getting doctrine in your mind, and it got down in here, and it gave light, and it started generating your soul. Then it became a black light, trying to walk in the, you know, illustrations like this. In other words, trying to walk in the dark. Yes?
Is that what they mean when they say quenching the spirit?
It could be a good illustration. We taught on that before. I had to look back on my notes about that. But you can quench a spirit where you can't grow. Okay? And this is totally reversionism, though. This is totally somebody that's been saved but reverted back to where they are and their soul is dark. Okay? This blackout is a result and alienated from the life of God. If an unbeliever, this means being lost and on his way to hell for an unbeliever. Okay? When it's dark night, their soul's dark, their spirit's dead to God, they're going to where? Hell. Period. There's no purgatory. That's the way to get money, isn't it? I hear stories about that. And y'all probably tell me stories that people pays and pays and pays and pays and pays and pays for years and years and years to get somebody out of purgatory to the church. Why don't y'all think of that, about that?
and you know, monuments. I never heard of that until I was stationed in Spain and Italy, and they do it.
They're big on that.
To this very day, even when you have a funeral, the more money you give, the more times they'll toll the bell. The more money you give, the more priests will show up at the funeral.
More times they'll
catch. But look, you're right. But it's here too. But look, it means alienate from faith to, if in a believer, reversionism means alienate from faith to sanctification. What's the first phase of sanctification, what we talked about?
Justification.
Or your
position.
No, the first part of salvation. Okay. The first time you got saved. Okay? That's the initial salvation. Okay, you heard the word of truth, it saved you, you're saved. The second part of sanctification is the progressiveness that you're walking in now. Now, positional, you're already there. We know that. You're already seated in heavenly places, you're there, period. You're made to sit with Him in your right hand, you're there. But there's a progressive that you're being saved. That's why He says, work out your salvation with much fear and trembling. You think, oh my gosh, did I lose it? You know, you would think that, but no. You're working out a daily deliverance. Like J.J. mentioned, justification, once you're justified, you're justified. You're righteousified. You know?
Why should I do this with fear and trembling when I've been given the mind of Christ and not the spirit of fear? So you don't revert.
You don't revert, but the thing, you know that. You know it because you're a spiritual mind and you can understand some things. But some people that don't know that, you're working out. Listen, I can go out here and if I do stuff wrong, that makes me fear and tremble because it's wrong. And I need to work out my salvation from that. Not the salvation that you're going to heaven. That's forever settled. Progressively, sanctification results in the fact that which you look like an unsaved man. You're walking as the Gentiles walk.
In the darkness.
And if you don't renew your mind and put the mind of Christ on and you revert back to where you was, you're going to walk like a lost man. Believe me, I've done it. And then,
progressive sanctification be the same as saying progressive edification?
I guess you could say that. But you're edifying, you're growing in enough because right now your soul and your spirit, is it perfect in the sight of God?
Well, I doubt it. I'm never going to meet the Christ.
No, 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 don't. You're thinking earthly now. Is your spirit and soul in the sight of God perfect?
Right now, he looks at me with my positional in Christ. He sees me. Doesn't see me. He didn't see me before.
But is it perfect?
You can't do yes and no.
I'm sorry. Okay. Janice, is it perfect?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. But anyway, you are that. But we know in this flesh right now, sitting here in 2011, okay, in Canton, Ohio, Madison, Stark County, where you want to be, we know in our flesh we're not perfect. We know in our mind that we're not perfect, but positionally we are in Christ because we have the spirit of mind in Christ, and you know that. But as we here on this earth, we're working out it. We're progressively getting there. I look at this, and this may be a poor illustration, but I look at this. I have a textbook. Boy, do I hate to say this. I have a textbook. My son's head just popped up. He knows what a textbook is. Until I take that dirt bath, I'm going to be studying. Okay? I'm going to learn all I can learn about who I am in Christ. And that's perfecting me. Okay? And I'm going to be sanctified to that third, the ultimate sanctification, the ultimate salvation is what? What is it? Heaven, or what we call the catching away, is known as the... Okay, that's the... When you're taken out of there, you're totally delivered from everything to God. When I stand in front of God Almighty, I'm going to be judged. Okay? Then He's going to put you in positions. And if you don't study this book, okay, there's a thing about judging angels and judging man. Do you not know that? Do you not know, according to that passage that is in Corinthians chapter 6, that we should be able to judge our own things and not take it to this unsaved world? Don't you know those things? You know, that's what he's saying. So I'm studying that when I get to heaven, it's not going to be just totally, you know, what? You know, you throw the pop quiz on me. So, you know, I think about all the time when you're studying for a science test, you walk in a science room, if a math teacher come in and hand you a math test, what are you going to do? You're going to take it, but you're going to what? That's just because you didn't study for it. So
then what happens to those people who are saved who don't study?
They're going to be in less positions. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. You know, because, you know, we talked about, that's what says wood, hay, and stubble. Take heed on what you build your foundation on. But gold and precious metals, and was it silver, gold, and precious metals? That's this. That's the doctrine. That's who you are in Christ. It don't burn. And you build your foundation on that. And there's, you know, now you may agree, and I don't, or you may disagree, that you, but I do believe there's powers and principalities and mights in heavenly places. There's a government structure the same as here on earth. Okay? And he's, when those fallen angels, one third of those angels, I believe he takes the body of Christ and puts them up there. And you're made to sit up there. And you're going to work with the saved angels. You know, you may not understand that, but you're going to be up there. Because they've got a part too. You know, they're not, you know, they're not just floating around and eating angels' food cake and, as my teacher would say, drinking Dr. Pepper. But look, I've got a few more things, and we'll get through this. The alienation is through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. This recap takes you back to where it all began, okay? With a negative towards sound doctrine. When you're alienated from the life of God, you're going back. You're going negative towards sound doctrine. Okay, I know people like that. Okay, people has admitted to me, Edward, I know I'm in reversionism. I know what Ephesians says, but they choose to go live the lifestyle. And when they choose to do that, my Bible tells me I'm not even supposed to eat with these people. That's tough.
Is that considered unbelief?
No, it's according to mine. You know, it's carnal mind reverting back because the unbeliever's lost. You would expect that from him. Okay? But look, a negative towards self, the Christian life will not operate on the basis of what? Once again, ignorance. Total lack of understanding. That's what it is. You have the knowledge. You can grow. We're growing every day. If I don't study during the week, it's tough on me. And I know it's tough on me. You know what I mean? You guys know that. You got jobs, you got this, that. You may wing it, you know, from what you know that's stored up in here, light. The blind of the heart. Let's see if we've got a few more verses. I need to close right here, so time-wise we're constraining this. But next week we'll pick up the fact that the blind of the heart is to cover over some things, and finally you're being past feelings. Okay, so we're still talking about the reverted man, the carnal mind that was saved. And we'll pick this up next time, that they're saved, and that may give us the understanding of why they're that way. I know why they're that way, because I was that way, and some understanding and things. So thank you very much.